how Jesus wants to take the gospel to the ends of the earth? This is why we're here. A strong church and a strong witness. That's why we're building. A strong church and a strong witness should have this kind of effect in our service and desire to take it out. It's somewhat easy to minister to our own, but Jesus' Great Commission shouldn't have to push us or pull us, but give us willing hearts to do what we can to see this go.
It's been said the act of ultimate self-centeredness is to be content to go to heaven alone. Welcome to today's broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We are back in the book of Acts once again, looking at chapters 9 and 10. A couple of amazing miracles taking place for the purpose of broadening the gospel. With more, here's Pastor Chris.
What happened in these cases is that all the people in all the region who were in Lydda and Sharon saw what happened, and a beautiful thing is said, they turned to the Lord. That's how the Lord used the miracles to open the door for the gospel. Here's my point. Both miracles seem to show genuine compassion for the struggles of these Jewish Christians and for the witness of these Jewish Christians. Particularly remarkable is the account of Tabitha. What an encouragement to read, isn't it? That this woman was so full of good works, almsgiving, she would make little coats for all the widows. Verse 39 is beautiful, isn't it? So Peter got up and went with them. When he arrived, they led him to the room upstairs, and all the widows approached him, weeping and showing him the robes and the clothes that Dorcas had made. And while she was with them, this was such a pain of loss to the early church. This woman, it broke the church out into a time of weeping. They were devastated. The compassion of Peter shines, doesn't it? Come quickly, Peter. Peter bolts over and goes, help us. Her witness was so strong. When she died, the whole region seemed to weep. That's how known this woman was. And her raising caused a whole bunch of people to turn to Jesus. Now, why do you think that's here? Because you're seeing Peter's compassion. He understood the church has to be strengthened. And that through the good works of his people, the witness spreads. Didn't Jesus say that? That by your good works, men may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven? The Lord raises up people like this in the church constantly. What a loss when they're gone. But what a blessing when they're here. You won't know this name, but I'm going to use her name because it just, somebody who stands out from my former pastorate in Linden, her name was Alice. And she would go around and was so denying of herself. Nobody knew this till after her death. She would go around, she would clean the widow's feet. She was always helping the widows. One day she got cancer and died, and you should have seen the church. Packed! All over we saw people come. We had no idea of the effect of that. We had no idea how this woman had been used of the Lord to be that great of a light. The church was full, and it was a great loss. It was a great loss. Didn't I read on love today? Wasn't it Jesus who said, in our world where nobody, especially in Southern California, everyone's running around and hustling. No, everyone's thinking of number one and their life and their busyness and everything they're doing. Think of the witness of love, sincere, without hypocrisy, love in the body. Peter sees it, and he understands the loss. I think this is just absolutely beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Peter understood and made great progress in ministering and understanding the importance of this in the church. You imagine if we had a church full of women like Tabitha who thought like this, who lived like this. If the church thought like this all the time, see, the witness is important, isn't it? The witness is important. Imagine the effect. there's also another encouragement here that I think the text is showing us to help us understand that Peter was making progress in understanding distinctions being torn down. Isn't it interesting that a male and a female are set right next to each other? We're going to go to Galatians in a minute. Male and female are set right next to each other. The male doesn't get as much attention, but the female does. The woman does. And I believe that Peter understands and made great progress in looking at how much the women were a blessing to Jesus in the ministry, how much women were important to the life of the church. Yeah, they weren't ordained as pastors, but look at how great a work this was. She's called a disciple here. Did you catch that? If you understand first century thought, you understand Cato, a Roman writer, said, if your woman is caught in an act of infidelity, kill her. The rabbi school of Hillel among the Jews, the teaching prevailed that if a woman displeased a man for any reason, spoiling his dinner, he could divorce her, and it became so bad in the first century, women refused to marry. The Greek and Roman cultures at this time were no better. Demosthenes said, we have courtesans for our pleasure, concubines for our daily cohabitation, and wives for the purpose of having children legitimately and having a faithful guardian for our household affairs. Oh, there's been major abuse of women in the world. Peter's getting it. He's seeing the importance of them in the church. We need to think a lot more about this. In serving and helping this way. It's beautiful. She's a disciple. A crucial figure to the witness of the church. Peter understood it and cared for the widows. This is why he understood how important it was for the witness of the gospel in this moment of apostolic ministry for her to rise. Jesus wanted this to happen, to declare this, to show this. Imagine the encouragement to the widows. That's a lot of progress. If I went around today and asked the elders, do you care for the people here? Or I asked the church and the deacons, do you care for the people here? Do you love them? I think this church does a remarkable job of that. Could always do better. But I've seen our widows, I've seen a lot of love in this place for the needy among us. We care for our people. This is a really beautiful section to hold on to in Acts. Peter made great progress. Now I want to talk a little bit about Peter's problem. What is it? Well, we move to another interesting figure here as chapter 10 begins. Notice how it said, there was a man in Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment. He was a devout man and feared God along with his whole household. He did. Now, see the connection here. He did almsgiving, just like Tabitha. For the Jewish people, he always prayed to God. This was a remarkable man of the Italians. Fascinating. A Roman centurion. They were the backbone of the Roman Empire. At the ninth hour, this angel comes to him. Cornelius looks at him and says, what, Lord? What is it? Terrified to death. I have heard your prayers. I've seen your almsgiving. I want you to go send men to Joppa and fetch one Simon, whose surname is Peter. Same spirit as Tabitha filled Cornelius. Interesting, the connection. Italians, the door to the Gentiles. Here's what I can't get out of my head. The Great Commission is God sending apostles out. The marvel of this is God sends the Italians to Peter. See it? That's why I call it Peter's problem. You know Peter's problem. He had the most difficult time receiving the Gentiles. It was more than that. It was a problem of what? Hypocrisy. Remember Paul said when he had to get in Galatians, and you're going through Galatians in Sunday school, but at chapter 2, he had to withstand and get in Peter's face. For Peter would sit with the Gentiles and eat, but then when the Jews came, he would depart. He'd get out of Dodge. I don't want to be seen with them. For he regularly ate with the Gentiles before certain men came from James. However, when they came, he withdrew and separated himself because he feared those from the circumcision party. Then the rest of the Jews joined his hypocrisy, so that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were deviating from the truth of the gospel, most of our discussions on racism and all that appealed to it. It wasn't so much racism. I think that's a bit unfair. Jews did not believe they were better than everyone else. They didn't believe their race was superior to everyone else. They believed that God had chosen them and not anyone else. That was the problem. Peter struggled with the inclusion of the Gentiles and played the hypocrite by retreating to his own people, lest he should be seen hanging out with the unclean. Which, by the way, Jesus received that scrutiny all the time. Pharisees and scribes were constantly grumbling against him, for this man receives and sits with the dirty, the defiled, the sinners, the tax collectors. That's the issue here. When he goes to Cornelius, the first thing he faces is that the Jews were mad at him. What are you doing going to the unclean? Here's the beginning of Galatians 2. Here's the beginning of the hypocrisy. Here's the issues. I'll show you that I'm on the right track even more. You want to see a strange irony? Where is Peter right now? Joppa. You know that place in the Old Testament, don't you? Go to Nineveh and preach to those Gentiles. No! And he heads to Joppa and hangs out there. I'm not doing it. Look at the last verse of chapter 9. Peter stayed many days in Joppa with Simon, a leather tanner. Listen, tanners were the most undefiled to the Jews. Why? They cut off skins of dead animals, but he was Jewish, so he could stay there. So he had no problem staying with an unclean Jew, but he had every problem going to an unclean Gentile. Why? Because the traditions of men held sway over him. Israelites who reside outside Palestine were considered idolaters. This is the Talmud, to give you some context here. Israelites who reside out of Palestine serve idols through, though in pure innocence. If, for example, an idolater gives a banquet for his son and invites all the Jews in his town, then, even though they eat of their own and drink of their own and their own attendants wait on them, Scripture regards them as if they had eaten of the sacrifices to dead idols. See, if they invite you and you go, you're polluted. Who's coming? Who's doing the inviting? Edersheim, one pastor summarized, the Jews kept close together and were ever most liberal to one another, but they were filled with bitterness to all others. The Jews had a low estimate of the Gentiles' character. The most vile and unnatural crimes were imputed to Gentiles. They considered it not safe to even leave their cattle in their charge, to allow their women to nurse infants, or their physicians to attend to the sick, nor to walk in their company without taking precautions. No trust. No trust. Gentiles should, as far as possible, be avoided altogether, except in cases of necessity for the sake of business. That's ironic. They and theirs were defiled, their houses unclean, as containing idols or things dedicated to idols. Their feasts and their joyous occasions were polluted by idolatry. You could not leave the room if a Gentile was in it, because he might, carelessly or on purpose, defile the wine on the table. Another hypocrisy or irony. Under such circumstances, everything must be regarded as unclean. You can never receive into your house or go to their house a Gentile because they are idolaters. Here comes the invitation. The gospel now, as Peter saw it, think of Galatians, there is now neither male nor female. Peter's good. Slave nor free. Got it. Jew nor Gentile. Wait a minute. See? You are all one in Christ Jesus. He's tore down the barriers. So what does God do? He sends a leader of the Italian regiment to him, begging him to come. I can't get that out of my head. There's a scene in John's gospel right after the triumphal entry, and all these nations of peoples are laying their palm branches down at Jesus' feet, and the Pharisees get furious. The Pharisees are furious. Listen to what they say. You see, you've accomplished nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. Now, some Greeks were among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and requested of him, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." You know that's on this pulpit, right? I've told you. We have to move it to the new one. "Sir, we want to see Jesus." Who does? Not just you. Peter was fine to go to the fringes of Judea, but had a Jonah-like attitude for the mission work way out there. He cared about the church of his own, of his people, his family. But there were others asking for Jesus too. You don't own them. I remember growing up in my home, and when it came to night church, you know when we wouldn't go? And I love my dad. He just died. Wonderful father to me. But he wasn't an angel all the time. You know what he said? We wouldn't go to evening church when the missionary spoke. Why? Oh, it's just a missionary tonight. That's our attitude. The greatest barrier is our attitude. It's just not that important for us. You know, Jesus wants to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. This is why we're here. A strong church and a strong witness. That's why we're building. A strong church and a strong witness should have this kind of effect in our service and desire to take it out. It's somewhat easy to minister to our own. But Jesus' Great Commission shouldn't have to push us or pull us, but give us willing hearts to do what we can to see this go. That leads to Peter's prodding, and I'm going to close with this today. Peter would have closed the door unless God had not intervened. You understand that? He wouldn't have gone. He was comfortable at Simon the Tanner's. Without knowing, all of a sudden the Italians are on his doorstep. The next day, as they were journeying and approaching the city, Peter went up on the household at about the sixth hour to pray. Peter was hungry, and as he was praying, he falls into a trance and sees a vision. Heaven is open, and it looks like a great sheet is coming down, it says. It spreads out to the four corners of the earth. It may have been a sail on a boat. Whatever the case, on that sheet were all sorts of crittery things. Everyone, ugh, what was on there, right? Everything you could imagine. Pigs, everything clean and unclean. They're all together on this sheet. Peter, get up, rise up, kill, eat. That's like preparing pork for a vegan. Eat it. That's offensive. Don't you tell me to eat that. You know how animated people get about their food. Eat the bacon. Nope. I've never done it. I'll never do it. As he sits there, offended, bothered, confused. See the connection? The uncleaner at your door. Knock, knock, knock. And now the Spirit speaks. Behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation. Don't do it with hesitation. I've sent them. That sheet was full of the clean and the unclean, at least as he understood it, but they're on one sheet. There's no separation. He's made the two one. You understand the message in this today? We have more to look at next time with regard to this. Do you know what the cross of Jesus has brought? He's torn down the middle wall of separation between the two, Jew and Gentile. All those ceremonial distinctions he nailed to the cross. He's taken them out of the way. All the man-made traditions and laws that we impose to keep people far from us, Jesus confronts. This is exactly how Peter will later apply it. When the Jews are furious at him for going there, he tells the story, and then he says, God showed me that I am not to call unclean what he has cleansed, and he cleansed them. They need Jesus too, not just us and our own. Peter went down to the men. I'm the one you're looking for. Why are you coming? What's the reason for your coming? They said, Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man, who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say. We want to hear the gospel. Come preach it. So he invited them in to be his guests. What a section, huh? I'm trying to imagine Peter saying, sorry, too much complication. Too hard for me to go. Too hard for me to do that. You could end up at the bottom of the ocean in a fish, you do that. Right? You cared about the plant, which you didn't labor over and did not grow. You cared about your comforts in life. It appeared in the night, Jonah, and perished in the night. Should I not care about that great city, Nineveh, which has more than 120,000 people who can't distinguish between their right hand and their left? Should I not care about a lost world right now? You don't think the world's lost? Look at the mess all around you. Look at them trying to figure it out. When the key focal point is somebody called Kanye telling us how to love and everyone rising up, you see right now there's no answer. But Jesus is. He lived. He died to pay for sins. He rose to make a new community of one people who know love, who do love. This is why we're here. Sometimes God has to place them on our doorsteps to awaken us to the opportunity, but I'm glad he does. But imagine the effect today in closing of a church that is full of love of Tabitha's and who understand that that love is meant to go out to all, to be shown to all, that the message would go out. That church is going to make a big difference. Jesus said to the church in Philadelphia, I've placed before you an open door that no one is able to close. Go through it. Sir, we want to see Jesus. So do they. So do they. May the Lord use us mightily in this place to gather in the nations.
Well, it's a message like today's out of Acts chapters 9 and 10 that remind us that God is in the business of strengthening his church and also growing his church from outside in some of the most unlikely of places. This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Just enough time to leave you with our contact information. We'd love to hear from you. It's always a delight knowing you're being blessed by this radio program. Reach out to us at our website, agradio.org. Questions@agradio.org. If you wish to email us any questions you might have or praise reports, comments about the program, or give us a call, 888-504-8805. By the way, when you visit our website, agradio.org, tons of resource material for you to tap into, as well as links to our other platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Again, all at agradio.org. And that phone number, once again, is 888-504-8805. Looking to write to us? If you're old school, the address for your envelope is Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Hey, thanks for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.